Hello, Zimbabwe, and welcome to Live Talk Women's Roundtable. We're coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington, and I'm your host, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Today on the Women's Roundtable, we're discussing the role some women's organizations are playing in promoting the education of other women and young girls. But first, let's take a look at what is happening here in the United States. If former U.S. President Donald Trump wins the November election in his rematch with current President Joe Biden, he may seek to place the entire federal bureaucracy under direct presidential control. That move is outlined in a playbook crafted by more than 100 conservative organizations. A prospective second Trump administration details from VOA Chief National Correspondent Steve Herman at the White House.
Make you very proud. Donald Trump, campaigning for president 8 years ago, promised to bend Washington's bureaucracy to his will.
If I'm elected president, we are going to drain the swamp in Washington, D.C.
Trump's continuing vow to drain the swamp, meaning to rid government of those who impose policy but are unaccountable to the president, is now backed with a blueprint crafted by more than 100 conservative groups. Project 2025, published by the right-wing Heritage Foundation, instructs how to swing a wrecking ball against the administrative state. Heritage Foundation President Kevin Roberts is warning there may be violence along the journey to its implementation.
We are in the process of the second American Revolution, which will remain bloodless if the left allows it to be.
After that incendiary comment, Trump tried to distance himself from Project 2025, asserting that while he knows nothing about it and its authors, I disagree with some of the things they're saying. The project's head, Paul Danz, appearing on C-SPAN, left no doubt Trump's words and ideas were the inspiration.
He was president for 4 years, so many of the ideas are carry-ons from his original work. So I would like to think that a lot of it does kind of spring from that first term of Trump.
VOA requested an interview with the Heritage Foundation. The think tank said it could not make anyone available, but emailed a statement stressing Project 2025 does not speak for any candidate or campaign. Project 2025 seeks to eliminate the checks and balances writers of the Constitution, such as James Madison and Thomas Jefferson, crafted through dividing power among the executive, legislative, and judicial branches of the government, according to Will Marshall, the president of the Progressive Policy Institute.
Madison and Jefferson ought to be spinning in their graves when they see how much power they want to concentrate in the next president's hands. And if that president happens to be Donald Trump, then it's a kind of a nightmare for the country, given the way he's misused power in the past.
President Joe Biden's reelection campaign has made Project 2025 a primary target, setting up a separate website dedicated to criticism of it and highlighting liberal media reaction.
Critics are calling it the fascist playbook, and it should be one of the reasons, if not the reason, that you vote this November.
The sweeping plan also calls for slashing government funding for renewable energy and climate change mitigation. The Department of Education would be eliminated. The Federal Bureau of Investigation would be overhauled top to bottom, as would the U.S. Agency for Global Media, which oversees the Voice of America. Steve Herman, VOA News, at the White House.
Still in the United States, and NATO allies on Wednesday pledged to support Ukraine on an irreversible path to integration while calling on China to cease all support for Russia's war efforts against Kyiv. This as new fighter jets are said to patrol the skies of Ukraine. VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Barber has more details.
American-made F-16 fighter jets like these now heading to Ukraine from NATO allies Denmark and the Netherlands.
The transfer of F-16s is officially underway, and Ukraine will be flying F-16s this summer.
All 32 allies in a communique calling Ukraine's path to NATO membership, quote, irreversible, in a strong message to Russian President Vladimir Putin that he simply cannot wait out NATO allies.
The work we are doing together now will ensure that when the time is right, Ukraine can join without delay. It is not a question of if, but when.
U.S. President Joe Biden pressed NATO allies to continue their increased defense spending in order to keep up with Russia's wartime production levels.
They're significantly ramping up their production of weapons, munitions, and vehicles. And they're doing it with the help of China, North Korea, and Iran. We cannot, in my view, we cannot allow the alliance to fall behind.
The alliance also calling on China to cease its support of Russia's war machine, saying it cannot enable the largest war in Europe in nearly 80 years without negatively impacting its interest and reputation.
The declaration we have agreed today is the strongest message NATO allies have ever sent on China's contributions to Russia's illegal war against Ukraine.
They're providing dual-use technology and support to Russia's defense industrial base, enabling Putin's war of aggression in Ukraine and allowing him to fight longer and to replace his losses.
Analyst and veteran Brad Bowman tells VOA that calling out China was long overdue for the 32-member bloc.
Europeans are dying in Europe in a war of aggression from the Kremlin with the support of Iran, North Korea, and China, period.
Non-NATO partners from the Indo-Pacific joined NATO allies for the summit in Washington this week. Officials say attendance by Japan, South Korea, Australia, and New Zealand sends a message to China that democratic alliances will stand up for the rule of law, no matter where an aggressor tries to break it. Carla Babb, VOA News, Washington.
Thank you, Carla. We actually have a political analyst, Pearl Matsibe, a Zimbabwean woman who's actually at the NATO summit. Hello, welcome to the program, Pearl. Hello, Ms. Matsibe.
Thank you for having me. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you give us a brief overview of how the NATO summit is going on here in Washington, D.C.?
Well, the summit has been really packed with a number of leaders from Europe, as you very well know, who are focused on a number of issues. The primary issue is defense industry. When I say defense industry, I'm talking here about how these countries and their leaders can put together immediate and quick assistance, military assistance to Ukraine, mostly to try to cover Ukrainian skies so that Ukraine can defend itself against the Russian Federation.
Yes, and we saw that there's been a lot of interest in how American President Joe Biden is performing at this conference. What have you seen? What's your takeaway so far?
Well, this morning we were, I was part of a conversation that we had had with a senior Biden administration official that is familiar with President Biden's approach and strategy going into this NATO summit 2024. As you know, it is the historic summit. It's its 75th year. A couple of things that he mentioned is he talked to me and others about President Biden and Kamala Harris's new announcement that they made, which they're calling the New Polar Partnership Ice Pact. What this is that it involves Finland and Canada, and they're calling it the Icebreaker Collaboration Effort, which is a trilateral arrangement to collaborate on the production of polar icebreakers and capabilities. In other words, those waters in that area in the northern part of that region, the European region, to sort of counter and strengthen shipbuilding industry. They want to make sure that the United States and other countries, but particularly of the United States, will be able to build new ships, right? So like I said, I was talking about defense industry. That ties into this. This is the industrial capacity of each country to build closer security and economic ties among these countries. They did issue yesterday a declaration, which they're calling the Washington Summit Declaration. And this declaration has a couple of key parts, if you will, to try to understand what is in it. I'll just mention five of those.
Thank you.
It was done yesterday, July 10th, and it covers several key issues, strengthening NATO's defense and deterrence posture. What that means is that it emphasizes how NATO defends itself to address emerging threats, particularly from Russia, but also from other adversarial states. So it underscores the commitment of this collective defense under Article 5. That's point number one. Point number two, how they support Ukraine. They're trying to reiterate that they have unwavering support, that nothing is going to stop them doing what they want to do to help Ukraine defend its sovereignty and territorial integrity. This is the language that is coming directly out of the White House. Third, that increased defense spending. So a significant focus, knowing that this is a U.S. election year, and should Trump, for example, come into the White House, he might. Trump has historically always had an issue with why the NATO countries don't spend enough, up to the 2% of their own GDPs. So this has been a key issue. So this is a significant focus that is urging NATO countries to meet or exceed the defense spending, which is targeted to 2% of their GDP. So that was part of the declaration. So point number four, and I'll get to the fifth one in a minute, is strategic partnerships and global security. In other words, the security of the partners of partnerships within these countries, and then how other countries outside of NATO have implications on this. So this is the declaration that highlights NATO's commitment to fostering strategic partnership beyond the North Atlantic region, particularly countries in the Indo-Pacific, like China, for example. This is one key area that the influence of China is top of mind on all of the leaders here at the NATO summit. And then the last thing is innovation and cyber defense.
Mm-hmm.
That emphasis here is placed on advancing technological innovation and how they use cyber to defend themselves. So these are the things, the top five things that are outlined in the Washington Summit Declaration made by the Defense.
Thank you so much, Pearl Matibe, therefore, that really great update. Thank you so much. We'll touch base with you later on today. And now Zimbabwe has joined the rest of the continent in commemorating African Anti-Corruption Day in Harare. The day is being celebrated at a time when the country is dealing with a wide range of corruption scandals within its corridors of power. The commemorations were held by the Zimbabwe Anti-Corruption Commission, ZAC, and joined by various stakeholders such as the Zimbabwe Coalition on Debt and Development, ZIMCODE, and Transparency International, and others. Speaking at the commemoration ceremony, ZAC chairperson Michael Reza said fighting corruption is not easy and singled out the public sector, including government and traditional leaders, as being the most corrupt people in Zimbabwe.
The fight against corruption is not an easy task. However, as the Zimbabwe Anti-Corruption Commission, together with other institutions designated to combat corruption and crime, we are ready for the challenge. The government of Zimbabwe has declared zero tolerance to corruption. And we want to reiterate that this is not a populist statement. It is a living philosophy that guides us in the execution of our mandate. We want to assure Zimbabweans that we are fully committed to stamping out corruption in both the public and private sectors. Statistics from our records shows that corruption is rampant in the public sector. For the year 2023, there were 310 reported cases. Fraud and criminal abuse of duty were the most prevalent cases handled by the Commission, accounting for 52.35% of the received cases. The suspects are mostly public sector officials from local authorities, various government ministries, and other public entities, including the revered traditional leaders, that is, chiefs and village heads.
That was ZAC Chairperson Michael Reza in Harare. We will continue with this conversation tomorrow on Live Talk, hosted by Taboka Ncube. Please stay tuned as we take a short break. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming this discussion live on all our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We're also live on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe. Today on the Women's Roundtable, we're discussing the role some women's organizations are playing in promoting the education of other women and young girls. Let's take a look at what Anot Inc., an organization led by Chieza Juru, is doing to help those in the education of girls.
Hello everyone, my name is Chieza Juru, and today I'm excited to launch the hashtag Educate My Village campaign under Anot's education portfolio. Sub-Saharan Africa has the highest number of out-of-school children, with nearly 60% of youth aged 15 to 17 out of school. These statistics are staggering and demand immediate and collective action. Lack of access to education is highly detrimental as it perpetuates cycles of poverty and leads to early marriages for young girls. Education is the foundation that empowers individuals with the skills and tools necessary to break free from economic hardship and to contribute meaningfully to their communities. My personal journey shows the transformative power of community investment in education. I owe my presence here today to the generosity of individuals and institutions that invested in my education. Many of you can recall somebody that intervened during your educational journey, whether it is a relative that paid your school fees, or a community member that bought you school books or gave you a pair of shoes. For those of us that have overcome educational barriers and become pioneers, the first in our families or communities to access education, the first to gain meaningful employment or to start a business, it is our duty to ensure that we're not the last. We have a responsibility to give back. With over 200 million people of African descent living outside the continent, including an estimated 4 million Zimbabweans, we have a unique opportunity to unite and uphold the African value that prioritizes the education of future generations. The Educate My Village campaign seeks to unite Africans globally to invest in the educational needs of our villages, schools, and communities. Our model emphasizes philanthropy within one's own family, your former school, your village, or your community. If each and every one of us invests in our villages, we can ensure that every child receives an education. Many of you are already doing this, and today I invite you to join the hashtag Educate My Village Challenge by sharing your story and inspiring others to join the challenge and invest in education.
And to further discuss this issue, we are joined via Skype by Chieza Juru herself, the director of Anont Inc. Welcome to the program, Chieza.
Thank you so much, Marvelous. It's such an honor to be here.
Thank you. Can you just tell us in brief, what made you decide to come up with such a program, especially when it comes to education? What is your background?
Thanks, Marvelous. This program is really intertwined in my experience growing up. So I come from Mashingo in Zimbabwe, and both my parents were educators. They were teachers. So I grew up understanding the power of education. And my father used to tell me stories of how he was the first person in his family to get educated. And for a long time, he supported our education until he passed away in 2004. And from that moment, that's when I actually felt like I was not going to reach my dreams. I was very bright in school, always going to back home with my report with straight A's, excited, you know, to see the joy on my father's face and the future he saw in me. But from that moment, I saw myself becoming a statistic of yet another child out of school. But thanks to the generosity of Higher Life Foundation, founded by Mr. Strive and Titi Masiwa, I was awarded the Joshua Nkomo Scholarship, and it completely transformed my life. Only now, you know, when I'm at this stage, am I able to look back and see the transformative power of education. In addition to that, I got a scholarship by Harvard University to pursue a master in public administration at the Kennedy School. And so when I see my 18-year journey and where I am today versus just ending up as a statistic and not being able to go to school, I have the urge to help many more children who need to get access to education. And in Africa, we have 98 million students that are out of school, the highest rate globally. And in Zimbabwe, almost a million students, 886,000. And so I have that duty to give back and to help many more students who are like me.
We understand that you will be launching your program here in Washington, D.C. Tell us a little bit about that.
So the Educate My Village program is launching next week on Friday, the 19th of July. This program is really about seeing the power in the African diaspora and bringing us together to mobilize resources and invest in education. From conversations I've had, you know, during my time here with a lot of Africans, a lot of them have resonated to being helped by somebody during their educational journey. And a lot of them have said, you know what, I need to do something to help. There are more people in my family. There are more people in my community. But I just need to find a community of people that we can work with to solve these challenges. So having realized that we are here because of other people, our former schools, we are launching the Educate My Village Challenge, which is challenging individuals, you know, to go back to their family and say, who is not in school? How can I help pay their school fees? With as little as $10, you can actually send a child in the rural areas to school. You go back to your former school. A lot of us have benefited from our schools, but sometimes we haven't had the platform or we haven't been able to give back to our schools. And yet a lot of key institutions, even here in the United States, are funded and supported by alumni. So we're basically going back to our roots and empowering individuals to say that philanthropy starts at the individual level. Why don't you do something in your family, in your community, and in your school? But over and above that, as Anet Inc., we're seeing an opportunity to tackle the 1 million children that are out of school and also play our part. And so we're seeing an opportunity to also mobilize resources from all the millions of people that we're saying in the diaspora. Partner us and local people. Once you've done something in your village, do you have an extra $10 a month that you can donate to Anet so that we can send more children to school, so that we can rebuild our schools beyond what you can do in your village? So it's really about seeing the power in us as individuals and really rallying ourselves to start to do something in our villages.
Tombopinda murimi rwa mai kuti zvanga zviri nyore here iwe semusikana wechidiki kuti ubve pawanga uri uchizoenda kuya iko kuno kuAmerica nezvimwe zvakadaro zvakafamba sei?
Zvanga zvisiri nyore zvamuchose nekuti semazivira atinoita kazhinji mwana wechisikana haawanzo kupiwa mikana semapiro anoita mwana wechikomana. Zvandambotaura kuti pakashaika baba vangu ndanga ndiri form 3. Vanhu vazhinji vakatofunga kuti upenyu hwaka huna kwauchaenderera mberi wangu nemunin'ina wangu. Nenhau yekuti vasikana vazhinji kana vachinge vasisina access to education vanowanika vaakufunga zvekuroorwa senzira inenge iri nani yekuti vawane kurarama. Asi isu nekunyaya kuti baba vedu na amai vedu vakatikudza tiri vana vanonamata vanoenda kuchechi chero panguva iyoyo tatisingazvinzwisisi taitomboboikana kuti tiri kuboikana nekungogara maawas akawanda muchechi takakwanisa kuramba takabatirira pana Mwari and ndokuzowana mukana kwatakaita kwekuwana scholarship. Asi zvakare ndiri kuchikoro ukoko kazhinji vana vasikana havatarisirwi kunzi vangapasa zvikurusa kana kuti vangaita zvakanaka. Saka unengochingosangana nemaissues anoratidza kuti vasikana vanofanira kusaenderera kumberi. Kunyange wazova kubasa ndazvosvikawo kubasa zvakare nyaya dzekuti kupromotwa nezvakadaro daro zvinenge zvichinetsa kana uri mwana wechisikana dzimwe nguva unenge usina confidence yauinayo nekuti society zvakare neculture yedu dzimwe nguva inoita sekungopromota vana vechikomana vasikana vasina mabenefits akainzana nevakomana.
Kana pane mumwe womunhu akateerera kunzwa uko mungamutsinhirawo kuti chii panyaya yamataura iyi kuti zvakakosha kuti munhu udzokere kwawakambodzidza kana kumusha kana hama yako isati yakuwana zvikwanisiro zvokuti ienderere mberi nechikoro, mungavati chii panguva ino?
Panguva ino ndingada kungoti ndiencourage vateereri kuti tirangarire kuti zvatinowana muupenyu yes ndezvekuti isu tikwanise kuwana kurarama kwakanaka, asi chikurusa kuratidza rudo kune vamwe kunyanyisa vanoshaya. Saka dzimwe dzenguva munhu unogona kufunga kuti ina handisati ndambowana mari yakawanda, regai ndimbotanga ndawana mari. Asi kubatsira vamwe kunotanga nezvishoma zvauinazvo. Isu patatiri mastudents tichiri kuyunivhesiti takaungana neshamwari dzangu tichikabva taona kuti yes hatisati takuenda kubasa, asi everyday tinoshandisa $10 kutenga chikafu. $10 taiitora tobva tanobhadharira vana vari kumamisha. Saka ndaigona kufunga kuti handisati ndava nemari, asi nyaya iripo ndeyekuti chii chauinacho muruoko rwako. Kungave isiri mari unogona kuve munhu anokwanisa kutaura nevana uchivaencourage kuti varambe vari muzvikoro kana kuvabatsira nemaextra lessons. Saka chega chega chauinacho just try and use whatever you have and use that kubatsira vana munharaunda nekuendesa vana vasiri kuchikoro, nekuti vana ava vana vedu sevanhu, tinongori vanhu vamwe chete, tinofanira kuti tibatsirane.
Mm-hmm. And for those that want to follow the work that you're doing, where do they find you? Where can you be reached?
So we can be reached on our website at www.educateyourvillage.com. That's where the Educate My Village campaign is running. Or on the Anot website, www.anotinc.org. Phone number we can be reached on +1 617 201 2568.
And what kind of response would you say you're getting from those Africans and perhaps Zimbabweans in the diaspora regarding this initiative that you've just started?
We are getting a remarkable response, Marvelous. We've actually got an online campaign that's running about hashtag Educate My Village. We have people that have joined the campaign that are recording 1-minute videos of themselves telling us about what education did in their lives and committing to educating their villages. So the amount of people that are saying, I really needed to do this, I've been thinking about it for so long, I'm really excited, is really great. And so with that, we have thought of a concept of a network of village beacons who are people that are passionate about investing in education so that we build community. And so if you go on our website, www.educateyourvillage.com, you're able to sign up, because sometimes what stops you is thinking that
Thank you there. And that brings us to the end of our show. Today, we're looking at the role women's organizations are playing in promoting education. I'd like to thank our guests, Chiedza Juru and also Pearl Matibe, and Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, saying have a very good night.